Once more. All right. We are here. We are live. We are rolling. Well, we're not live because I do this pre-recorded because live would be way too much effort. I don't have the facilities for that. It's just me right now. I have to record everything, edit everything. So maybe one day when I'm as big as Joe Rogan, I'll have my very own Jamie or something like that. But yeah, man, Adam and Doug here. How's it going, guys?
Doing all right.
Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. Tuesday. Yeah, dude. It's always weird saying hello after we already said hello. But, you know, breaking the ice again. We got to do it for the people. The people want what they want, and I can't change
it. You never say hello too many times to someone.
Right? You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Now you're going to have to pay royalties
know.
For
dude,
that. Right?
You know what? I'll probably get copyright striked off YouTube and everything. It'll be fine. This podcast will never actually go anywhere because of that one comment.
Sorry, man. It's ruined your life. Just showing up. That's
I'm wearing the Rolling Stones t-shirt. I've got, this is what, tattooed you?
Not done. Yeah, copyright strike for that too, man. I feel like they're getting Miles way Davis. Out of hand with that stuff. Ooh, that's a cool shirt. I like that. I like them both. Rolling Stones is cool too, but man, that's a legend right there. Yeah, man. I'm actually like a musician. That's why I have the studio. Yeah, and then started a podcast with some friends and then it's evolved into this. And yeah, guys, that's, again, my TED Talk. Thank you for coming.
Incredibly educational.
Yeah. So how
greatest
you guys
guitarist of all time while we're on music.
Who's the greatest?
Yeah.
Ooh. I feel like Jimmy's innovation with like just the way that he plays.
Yeah.
He's probably my favorite. And I love the blues personally. So like, I really like the way he incorporated a lot of those elements into what he did and kind of changed the face of music in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's like probably one of my personal faves, but
I'm going to go with the other Jimmy from Led Zeppelin.
Okay. Jimmy Page. All right. Yeah, dude. Honestly, he would have been my second. Like, because Zeppelin, dude, they did such cool stuff with the blues. It's like, I mean, the blues gave birth to rock and roll, right? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Let's give a shout out to Miles... Robert Cray, by the way.
Robert Cray.
Yeah.
Why do I not know Robert Cray?
Is
my
blues.
Brain?
He's fantastic.
Oh,
you
okay.
You should definitely check him out. Like
Robert Cray.
You'll love him.
Nice. Okay, cool. Yeah. Dude, yeah. I fell in love with the blues. I went backwards with the blues. I loved rock and roll, and then I just leaned right back into the blues. I liked rock and roll. I got into the White Stripes, and then that was just a rabbit hole. And then I went all the way back, and then I realized that half of the White Stripes lyrics are just straight up plagiarized from people in the blue. Like half of his lyrics are just old Sunhouse songs.
Mm-hmm.
And
I didn't know that.
And so that was, like there's like one of my favorite songs from him is "Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground," and he's one point. I mean, like half that song is like a. Different I forget what Sunhouse song it is, but yeah, there's like straight up just verses that they take. I mean, the blues does that a lot, you know, in general, so it's not to totally slight him for doing it. Yeah. but that was my gateway drug. It was the White Stripes.
Cool.
Dude, Miles Davis though, that's like to have a shirt that's sick. That's a great shirt.
All I did was purchase it. I don't deserve a lot of credit for it.
That's cool though, man. But a little bit though, because I mean, like, I feel like that's not gonna be on just the shelves, you know. Like you gotta see.
You gotta
that
seek
one out.
It out.
You're not buying that at Target. Yeah.
Impulse buy. When I saw it, I was just like, all right, gotta pick it up.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Dude, so how have your guys' day been so far? What did you do? It's noon, so maybe you just woke up. We're still in quarantine. That's real life.
Well, we're East both Coast, on baby. The East Coast, so it's we're further into the afternoon.
I forgot about that. It's one over here, so I mean, I've had a busy morning, but probably not as much as you guys have done. The East Coast. Dude, you know what's funny? Like, the last guy I had on the podcast was from England, so he was way far ahead, and it was just like, I don't know, I'm getting my time zones down again.
You could have a productivity challenge. That could be something where you kind of do a humble brag of, well, I got this done today, how about you?
You guys would win, you've had more time.
No, but maybe the challenge would be that in your first hour you're trying to,
sure,
to get the most accomplished. So given, ooh, I don't know, you could come up with something clever, but
that's true. This should be my job, right?
So, I mean, someone could close on like a you know, seven-figure deal in an hour.
That's true. I mean, those day traders, dude, they get up like hella early, dude. They get up like crack of dawn to do all that day trading, and then doesn't the market like close or whatever at like noon or something?
Well, something ridiculous closes like pretty that. Early, and if you're like a yeah. You know, different type of trader in the sex trade, you could have had like 8 clients in an hour. So there's many different, you know, especially working Port Authority.
Oh, that's true, man. Yeah. You know, certain professions never sleep.
Money never sleeps, guys.
Traders, you money get, never sleeps. You could get the sex trader, stock trader. Yes. And they could kind of, they could, there's an idea.
They could compare hours. I feel like, that's amazing, dude. They could compare hours. I feel like arguably, you know.
A lobbyist, maybe throw someone in government in there who's working other deals.
Right. I mean, they're like 24 hours, right? They get called whenever there's something to drag up. I have such like a weird view of Washington, though. I feel like I watched too many House of Cards, and then now I just feel like everything is just everybody's murdering each other.
100% accurate.
I feel like it's got to be semi-accurate. I don't know. Like, just with everything going on lately, it feels like we're more and more in a Netflix special than anything else.
You got that right.
Yeah. So you guys, did you guys both write these plays? Last time I had on both the authors of the plays.
No, I'm the director, so I haven't really done any work yet. Doug's done all the work so far.
So I wrote one play, just a short 10-minute one. And Mr. Davenport is already securing incredible talent for this. So I think he wins the day.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I mean, he does a lot of pointing and telling people what to do, right? So that's, it feels official, right? That's what the director does?
Yeah.
That's sure.
Now say your line. Nope. That's not your line.
Do it better. Just do it better. Come on.
That kind of sucks. No, I don't direct like that, but I might think that sometimes, but no, you have to.
For sure.
You have to.
I feel like it would be, I'm glad you at least admitted it. You admitted it, right?
Everyone has those private thoughts. Anyone's full of shit if they pretend that they're always having a thought of empathy. I mean, that's the challenge to
conduct
yourself in that way. But of course, we always have the selfish or cynical thought.
For sure, yeah. For sure. I mean, I feel like I once I had a guy tell me. It was great. It was his mom's wisdom that he passed to me. And he told me, he's like, you know, my mom always told me that you're not your first thought, you're your second thought. You know, and I thought that was kind of cool because it's true. It's like everybody's going to have a knee-jerk reaction, especially, you know, in times like this. It's like everybody's going to have a knee-jerk reaction that you might not be able to control just because of who you are, what you grew up in and whatever. But it's like if you actually take time to have the second thought and act on that one instead – you know, you're going to be a lot better off. And I thought that was pretty cool wisdom from my friend's mom. So
yeah, people who are probably less successful in life just are a bit more impulsive and act on the first, they act on knee-jerk reactions. That's really put well.
Yeah.
you are your actions at the end of the day, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree with that too.
So how many knee-jerk reactions did you have today? That's my question to you.
How many did I have today? I don't know. Probably maybe three.
Three. Who's your best one?
It's one. My best one? Yeah. They're probably not that great. I don't know. Honestly, I'm thinking I had one, I think, where, I don't know. I had one with, like, people I'm living with right now. It's a bit contentious at times.
Do they listen to this? So how transparent can you be?
Not that transparent.
Oh.
Yeah. But I appreciate that. No, it's just, you know, stuff. It's just like weird times, man. The crazy thing is, I don't know, in New York, you guys are probably like super still locked down and stuff. But I'm in Cali. And so like we're still like, we're opening up. And so things are getting.
We're in phase two. So no gyms, but we can have a. Outside dining, curbside retail.
Okay. Wow, that's that. Yeah, you guys are way behind. Like not, nothing. No, I'm just kidding. No, you guys are just way behind us. I mean, we're at the whole like, like everything feels like it's open at this point, which is kind of odd. So everybody's just kind of at different comfort levels. You know,
you're kind of at the everything's fine, nothing to see here, but like the houses are burning behind the cop who's telling you that.
Exactly, dude.
Move on, nothing to see here.
Move along, nothing to see here. Dude, I don't even know. I feel like there's so many like different like information about it. Like there's just so much going on. It's so hard to like keep up, and I unfortunately feel like lately it's become so partisan that it's like it's so like where you get your news from. You talk to somebody and they're like, yeah, everybody's fine, like this is fake, and then you talk to somebody else and they're like, everybody's dead, and it's just like it's weird because personally I think I've known two people who got it and they were fine. So they weren't fine. I shouldn't say that. They got wrecked. Like my friend had it and he was real, real sick. But he didn't die. I don't think he went to the hospital. He just rode it out at home. He had someone who was able to take care of him. But it's just so weird how it affects people so differently. I don't know.
It's a bad one. It's a really bad one. I mean, some people aren't getting better. You know, they're months on,
really?
They're still sick. They're having multiple organ shutdowns. You know, I mean, like they're still having, you know, all of these issues months later. So, you know, when Fauci comes out and says that we could be dealing with 100,000 people, you know, what is it, a week or what was it, a day? He says something like that. I mean, it was crazy. Like that many people turning up positive per day. And, you know, not everybody may die from it, but people can get really sick. Mm. And we don't know how to stop it yet. So, I mean, people can politicize it all they want, but I mean, the truth of the matter is, the human body's never dealt with anything like this before. So, take heed, you know. Yeah, and that's what absolutely. Comedy shows are about, right?
Exactly. No, man, it's all good, dude. We've talked about serious stuff on here at this point, but, dude, yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I mean, like, I'm being careful. I'm being as careful as I can be. You know, there's just,
strange. I feel like you can load up on immune-boosting vitamins like you would. It would be like putting on a condom. Mm. So you can just put up. So, I don't know. What are you taking? What's in your COVID immune-boosting stack?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, that was actually what I was going to say next was I feel like that's one thing that I think that is a huge lapse in what the government's been doing is like we just don't talk about that. Like as if like human bodies don't have like we don't like as if that's not going to affect the way that this goes. You know what I mean? That's the only thing that I've personally been frustrated with when I hear stuff. It's like why is like no one talking about like still trying to stay like active and healthy and like I know that we were scared for a while of like just going outside at all. It's like we don't even know if we like breathe the air outside, you're gonna catch it type thing. That was like the first month. But at this point, on some level, I mean, I feel like they should be talking more about, like you said, boosting your immune system on some level. Like, make sure you're taking some sort of vitamin. There's all this research on vitamin D stuff, so I've been taking some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I take these vitamins, as it were. I take, like, I take Onnit supplements. I take this this little day pack and night pack because I'm such a space cadet that if I don't have, like, a pack of vitamins, I won't take it because I just, like, I'm not going to sit there and put all the pills in a tray, and I'm not organized like that. So I get those little packs and I do that. And then I've been supplementing a little extra vitamin D because I've heard some good research on that. So,
mm-hmm. Well, not getting out a lot of sunlight, a lot of people have vitamin D, deficiencies right now. They're not leaving their homes, and it's also contributing to, lethargy and depression.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And again, it's like, it's this weird catch 22 of like being outside and being healthy is probably going to help you on some level, but then being inside will keep you safe from getting it. So it's like, again, it's a catch 22. You got to find your balance. You got to find your balance and your comfort level and like what you're willing to do. And, you know, maybe don't go make out with strangers at a bar, but at the same time, like, you know, go for a jog if you can. You know, it's probably good for you.
Yeah, don't go for a jog. Get some vitamins.
Yeah, dude. And, you know, eat as good as you can. That's so hard, though, because some people don't have access to that, man. Some people, it's like, you know, all you can afford is a McRib, and that's what you got to do. But yeah, man, I don't know. But
Ralphie, we're on the subject. Remember Ralphie in Christmas Story when he licked the pole?
He stuck his tongue, yeah.
I think he patient zero.
Patient zero, dude, of the coronavirus is what, like, how old is that movie now? Probably 30 years ago.
That was what, 1985 or something?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, more than that now. Gosh, we're in 2020. Does it feel like anybody else that you're like, you guys are like living in the future? Because it feels like I'm living in the future a little bit.
Why?
I don't know. 2020 feels like real far, like it feels far away, but we're living in it.
Well, we were supposed to have the Jetsons. We're pretty off. We were supposed to have like flying cars by now.
Yeah, I guess that's what I mean. Is like if like 2020 feels like real, real far in the future.
What year was Blade Runner supposed to be?
Oh, that's a
good question.
I think it was 2020. I think so. I think. Maybe
are we both looking that up?
Dude, do it. That's all good. Be the
all right, you the be fact me to checker.
Oh, we said in November 2019. There you go.
2019. That's like
we're a little behind.
A little bit.
Was it Back to the Future? Is another one, right? Where it was like it's like set in like 2020 or something.
2049 is the sequel.
It's the sequel, yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
So we have to catch up.
We're not gonna be there, and you think in 30 years, do you think we'll be there?
Yeah,
we'll be on Blade Runner level of technology.
We might.
We won't need healthcare. You just inject yourself with stem cells or something.
I'd totally do that.
Yeah.
Like, don't you wonder what it would be like to have sex with a replicant?
Dude, probably not. I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
There's probably the stats on that, because in the movie, that often turns to be fatal, right?
I think so.
It's kind of a one and done situation.
In love with a robot. Yeah. Yeah, dude, you fall in love with a robot, and then the robot doesn't have actual feelings for you. It's just a robot. So it's like, and then it murders you in your sleep and assumes your identity or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
That's another day for a gay man in Hell's Kitchen.
Yikes, murders you in your sleep.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I don't know. I feel like we're getting to a point with tech and like medical stuff where it's so weird because we have no moral leadership in this country. You know what I mean? Right now, I feel like it's very immoral, everything. So it's just like, I was talking about this to somebody the other day. We have no moral leadership, but we're reaching a point with science and tech where we're kind of like, it's not like what can we do? It's more like, should we do that? Like, should we? Like, you hear some stuff that Elon's working on, and you're like, I don't. Should we do that though? Like, I know you can, Elon, because you're an alien. But like, you know, I don't know if we should go there.
I want to book a commercial flight to the moon and Mars.
No, see, that would be sick. That's fine. In my personal opinion, I guess. So, you know, whatever. It's all filtered through my own lens. But like, some of this stuff, like the neural net. Did you guys hear about that thing?
Yeah.
He's working on it?
No.
That thing's insane, dude. He's basically, like, trying to, like, chip everybody's brain so you can, like... The way he's going to get it in is essentially, like, he puts it in people who need a physical stimulus for, like, your... You know, maybe a paraplegic, sure, or something like that. And so theoretically what he's working on is that, like, it will stimulate your legs or whatever you have injured or working on, and it will basically give you function over certain parts of your body again. Somehow, I don't freaking know how that works, because I'm an idiot. But like, that's what he says he can do. And so that I find really cool, like the fact that you could help people be fully functional and whatever. But then he starts going on, he's like, yeah, and then eventually you just won't even need to talk. You'll just like look at people and like you'll Bluetooth a conversation to somebody else who has a neural net. And it's just like, that's where I go, like, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, I don't know if I want to, like, it would root, like, personally, with the way I thought of that when he was talking about neural net, I was thinking about our medium, where it's like, you know, art. Like, art would, I don't even know what. Like, so much of what, like, I'm a musician, so much of what I do is lyrics, or people I work with who write lyrics and things like that, words. And like, it's interesting to think of like what art will even look like at that point, because it's like how do you do theater if everyone's just like talking with a chip in their brain to somebody? It's odd. It's just, and I don't know if it's just because it's so different that I can't wrap my brain around what that would be like.
That would be very efficient though for dating, like for that first phase, like the Tinder conversations, when maybe you gave someone your number, but then you lose interest, you just put your network busy away message on when they're trying to say hi, good morning, and then you just say network busy.
That would be wild. Yeah. You just, dude, I don't even know. I don't know. I don't know. It's a whole nother ball game, man.
Would you download your consciousness onto a computer so that it can be uploaded to another body?
Ooh, like what? That's a, what's that new show that came out like that? What's it called?
Yeah.
Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon. Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. No. I would be one of those one and done people in that show. I forgot what they call them. Neo somethings.
Wow. I would totally.
Yeah, yes. I think I would. I'd be down for that.
I would totally do that at least a few times.
Yeah. Just do it a couple times and then choose when you want to go out.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm a one and done type dude. I mean, I'll take stuff to help make this process, you know, I don't know, like healthy and longevity and stuff. But I don't know. I mean, how many times do you want to come around? You know what I mean? I guess you see some cool new stuff. And
I don't know. I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Jump into a new sleeve.
What do you want to? Yeah, see, that's the thing. Would you do a whole bunch of body modification and stuff like that, or would you just come back as you again?
Oh no, definitely not the same me. I'd come back much better.
Yeah, I would do like the lobster. Do you see the lobster?
No, yeah. I never saw that. Yeah,
that was a trippy movie.
I would just pick some random animal.
You mean hold on? Do you mean like the movie, like a lobster? Wolf?
The movie, the
okay,
lobster.
Okay, yeah, I never saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd pick like an animal that like lives to like be it like a long time, like some kind of
a tortoise in the Galapagos.
Yeah, dude.
No, it'd there be like go. Bacteria or something that can't die.
Damn, that would be nuts. Like, but bacteria gotta live a boring ass life, dude. Like, that can't be fun. That can't be like fun. I mean, maybe I don't know. Maybe COVID, maybe it is.
Its experience of the world is it's having a party right now.
Oh my god,
it's just killing it.
Friggin' winning.
Yeah, dude, yeah, it is it's winning the game right now, that's for sure. Yeah, I don't know. See, that's the thing, is like, do you have your human consciousness in the bacteria or the virus? Because if you do, then like
you could make a decision like, oh, do I want to, this person's an asshole, I'm definitely gonna infect them.
I gotta take that dude out. Yeah, but then you gotta travel like super far because you're a tiny little virus, my dude. Like, how are you gonna get that far? Like, what if you find out, like, okay, I wanna take out like some politician or something like that? And you just like, dude, yeah, you gotta travel real far. What if you're in the East Coast and he's on the West Coast or something like that? How are you gonna do that? You're a bacteria.
Well, that party is having a full on convention, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh. I genuinely.
Nothing more needs to be said, but I think they're like, it seems to me, be pretty easy to accomplish that task.
Just wiggle your way through the air
for
months at a time to get to where you need to go.
But wait, back to the way
I love how far off the rails we are right now. Replicate. This is amazing.
So then are you splitting consciousness? So then like you're to me that's interesting. If you've been attached yourself to from one host to 10,000 hosts, are you then is your consciousness split among all those replicated pieces of virus? I see what
you're saying. Or are they just like your children? Right? Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, are they little baby children or bacteria of yours? Of or are they?
That's your decision.
They would technically be like clones, right? Because they're exact DNA replicants of.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you would be able to clone yourself.
That's why I would pick the virus, because then I could, if I have consciousness, I could like communicate with, you know, scientists, be like, yo, this is how I work.
Tell them how to kill you. Dude, I don't think you last very long in this new world, man. I don't know. You can't tell the scientists how to kill you.
Well, I would have a high... I'm a viral matter with a higher level of empathy.
Oh, okay. So you would oust yourself.
But then I'm going to evolve anyway. Seriously. To mutate so that it's maybe misleading. Just give them a little here and there.
See, and this is why I only want to be here once, dude. I don't want to make all these choices. I would be one
manipulative piece of virus.
Dude, I don't want to make all these choices. I just like, I don't like, dude, I wear the same sweatshirt every day because I'm like Steve Jobs, dude, but like way more poor. Like, I don't want to choose what I got to wear every day.
Get hired by pharma companies as a consulting virus. Because they're gonna study.
Are you gonna communicate, dude? Are you gonna like?
So that's I'd say, okay, I want $2 billion in consulting fees, and I'd work it out, and then I'd mutate after I collected the deposited funds.
Oh, okay. So they're gonna put $2 million in an offshore account for a virus, mm-hmm. and you're gonna what are you gonna spell out? Because you can't talk, so you're gonna spell out in the petri dish how to do it, like little formulas. Like in the petri dish.
If I have consciousness, then there's what's the thing that our friend is developing, the neural net.
Oh,
so I would be able to telepathically communicate. Bluetooth.
Oh, all right, man. More power to you, dude.
Yeah.
More power to you. I appreciate you looking out for humanity even after you weren't a human anymore. That's real.
No, don't you get it? It's a virus. It's for my own selfish gain.
Oh, yeah. But how's a virus going to spend money, man? I think it's more altruistic. I think you're a better guy than you're giving yourself credit.
I'm going to collect all the money, and then I'll decide what to do with it.
And then re-sleeve in some sort of Adonis-like, like Doug wants to do.
He's going
to
come back as like... world. I don't know.
It's like, damn, man. Damn. So you're just like full restart when it comes to like the world? Do you think we're hopeless at this point, or do you have
no hope? I have a lot of optimism.
That's good. I feel like a lot of people are really nihilistic right now, and it's I don't know, that's it's tough because it's hard to blame people for being down about where we're at. I feel like we have a lot of work to do, but I feel like.
Well, more people are aware and self-aware than they have, because there's also more information available in this era than there have been in other times. So I think, you know, we're also in the midst of a mindfulness revolution too. So I think.
True. I hope that's what sticks more than anything. Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. Just, we don't do transitions on this podcast. We just talk. We just go straight. I just hard write into whatever we're gonna talk
about
next. But so hard right, let's just, or hard left, whatever. I don't wanna make it weird. So hard left. Let's just take a left. What is the play about? I know that the pick plays that we've been kind of doing a little series of pick plays, both on the podcast and both in real life, because you're doing series, obviously, each one is themed differently. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have written the play, you are directing the play, you're one of the 10-minute plays. There's three 10-minute plays, right?
Yeah,
and then you guys have an expert coming on to talk on the issue. Do we know who the expert is yet? Is that something we have readily available?
We do know who it is, and I'm blanking on his name.
It's totally good.
Yeah,
I'll tag it probably below or whatever.
No, it's all good. Robert Pollan.
Yeah, that's right. Robert Pollan.
Robert Pollan.
He's the son of Abe Pollan, who used to own the Washington Bullets, and he's an expert in the field. Hopefully he's going to, spend a few minutes talking and kind of getting people up to speed on what the issues are and the importance of universal healthcare. So
nice. So let's just pretend that I've never heard of universal healthcare. What is the concept there? I understand that it's healthcare for all, but the big question I feel like everybody always asks when it comes to that is where does the money come from for that type of thing? Because is it fully government funded? Are we talking about people paying into it? How do we achieve that as a society?
I certainly don't feel that I'm qualified to give you real details on that. But from what I the stuff that I've read over the years, a lot of times that's paid for by the ultra wealthy. And what the game plan is that there's money up front, but because so many people are forced to go to, say, emergency rooms, and then we all have to pay for that. If they had universal healthcare from the beginning, and if they had will baby checks and that type of stuff, they would be their overall expenses would be far less, and they would not be, putting out a ton of money into, going uninsured and having to deal with massive expenses. And so these are the type of things that when everyone is covered, it saves everybody money. And so, it's the kind of the basis of public health systems, And so it's a lot of people politically don't believe that they should spend money up front, but it saves everybody. It saves unneeded deaths. It saves billions of dollars, if not more.
Sure.
So that's my ham-handed way of saying that, making sure that everybody has coverage and is really a good thing. It's an essential thing.
Yeah, that's a perspective that I don't usually hear about it. So that's why I'm actually wanted to ask you guys just to explain it in your own way, because one thing that you always hear from some people that are like, I feel like people typically say we should just do it because it's morally right. And I more or less agree with that. I think we should take care of each other. That's kind of like why we're here. So there's that aspect of it, right? And then the other side of the coin is always just like, well, yeah, but I shouldn't have to pay for somebody else's problems. That's always the other side of the coin.
They're paying for everybody is paying for everybody else's problems. That's the concept of insurance, everybody's paying into a pool, but the people who are unhealthiest are, if you will, draining from that pool. But if we raise everybody's health up a fair amount, not only will they live more productive, happy, healthier lives, they actually won't drain the pool of the money. And so theoretically, everyone else's costs will go down as well.
Yeah, but that's a great way of explaining that portion of it, especially the fiscal portion, because one of the reasons why I asked that part of it, because I feel like so many times, again, it's just like, why should I have to pay for somebody else's problems? But if you really look at it from the standpoint of exactly what you said there, that like it's more like doing regular oil changes will help you from having from having you to fix the whole engine or get a new transmission or whatever. You know, if you're topping off the fluids every once in a while, you just live a healthier life in general.
$49.95 every 6 months is a lot better than a $5,000 engine block.
Or a new car. I mean, you might not make it. Yeah. No, I agree with you, man. Yeah, so that's an interesting way of looking at that, though. I feel like that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know if you... I don't want you to give away. I know it's only 10 minutes. But can you tell me a little bit about, like, the perspective of the play that you guys are working on? Like, how does it... Like, what angle is it taking?
Sure. It's about... it's really about a mother and her son, and the son has been in an accident, lost his job. He lost his job and has been in an accident, and so that has means that he's going to have to pay out of pocket for emergency room, et cetera, et cetera, and kind of the spiral of things that that creates. So that's kind of the short version without giving anything away.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I wanted. I don't know.
So, I mean, the line reversals. There's some nice reversals in there too.
Yeah, it's not as straightforward as that.
Fair enough. I feel like even if it was that straightforward, it'd still be interesting to watch. Especially like I feel like it's kind of perfect because I know you guys are doing the plays through Zoom. And I feel like it's kind of perfect because a lot of people right now are doing Zoom calls with doctors. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. It's just people are probably familiar with that when it comes to like the medical setting right now. And I don't exactly know how it's written, but that sounds interesting because it's like you could use parts of that. I don't know.
What's our new reality? It's cool. Is kind of everything is on Zoom or FaceTime or whatever. I mean, I guess it was on FaceTime before. But now, you know, I mean, I'm on Zoom multiple times a day for business stuff and like everyone else, same. You know. So it is definitely part of our life. And so, you know, Adam's challenge is that he gets to try and make this a Zoom play interesting. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you plan on doing that, man? Like, how does that play out? Because I feel like in a way you're directing theater because it's theater, but it's also like because it's live, but that element of it. But it's also kind of like you're almost cinematography in some ways because you have to
one take filmmaking.
Yeah. Are you guys doing that with like cameras? Like, what's the setup? Are you guys doing it through computers? Or
all
like...
on computer. So literally, the actors would be on their device and they act. It would be all done in real time.
Nice, dude. Yeah. Dang. One shot filmmaking. I like that description.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting, man. Yeah, my dudes. I don't know.
There was a horror movie that was all done on a Zoom-like platform, and it was all made to be one take.
Yeah. Oh, was it one take? I think I saw that, but I didn't know it was one take.
What about this?
It was God, I love horror movies. I forget what it was called. It was like there was like an Asian dad, right? And he was like lost his daughter or something. I saw it in theaters. It was super spooky. It was kind of weird. At one point,
Unfriended.
Like,
she
was... Yeah. There it is.
Unfriended? I'm right there.
Yeah.
Was it
good? Yeah, it was like half about... Okay, yeah. It was... I don't know. It was odd. It was definitely like... You could tell it was like one of the first forays into that kind of like medium. So it was... At least from what I could tell. So I thought they did a pretty good job with what they... With like, you know, first try. If it was all one take, that's actually even more impressive.
Well, it's edited to appear that way. Of course, editing makes it to be seamless, but I'm pretty sure they did cut, but you don't see those cuts.
Yeah. I remember the dad's acting being pretty good. Like, I remember I really felt like he was feeling what he was feeling, you know, which again, with the weird angled shots and like the, cause it, again, it's supposed to be like through like a webcam and like he's on his daughter's computer, like trying to find where she went and stuff, and going through her social accounts and stuff. So I thought that he did a pretty good job, like acting it out.
We might be talking about a different movie then, because Unfriended just had the high schoolers. There was another character.
Oh, no. Yeah, there was like a, there was a movie. I don't remember what it's called, but there was a movie where there was like an Asian dad and he lost his daughter and he was trying to find her by going through all of her like social accounts and stuff, because like I guess some of her friends unfriended her and he was trying to figure out why, and he was like FaceTiming them being like, hey, where is she? Do you have her phone? And he caught, like, called her phone, and like there was like a killer who had her and stuff like that. It was searching. I don't know. So we are, what was that?
Searching.
Yeah, I think so. Searching. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, that one was pretty good.
So there's just a whole new subgenre now.
It's a genre. You guys are deep in it now.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down. Check it out.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of seamless, did you guys see 1917?
Yeah.
No.
One shot?
I haven't seen it yet.
One shot.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Was the whole movie one shot? Wait, what?
The film.
Was it really one shot?
Yeah, it was one continuous shot. I'm sure it was woven together like you're talking about, but the entire film is one continuous shot.
Sam Mendes.
That's insane. I gotta see that.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's incredible.
Now streaming on iTunes.
Yeah, it's just free plug.
right.
But dude, that's crazy. I've always been impressed by that kind of stuff when it comes to like cinematography and just acting in general, where it's like, I mean, obviously it's a whole team that comes around it. It's not just the actors, but just the, like the, when it's that choreographed, you know what I mean? Cause they have to hit a mark and like really make sure that everything is like where it's supposed to be, or it's not going to look seamless, like you said, which is nuts.
Yeah.
Just it's the amount of effort.
If you have a chance, I would definitely check it out on the largest television you can.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. We have a big one in the studio, so I'll try and watch it here. It's one of those, it feels like such a time where it's like there's so many different pieces of content coming out. I feel like I'm trying to keep up half the time. Mm-hmm. That was a good one, but I missed it in theaters. Yeah.
Kind of met it at the best pick. It lost to the Paris, a film, the best picture of the year this year was called a film called Parasite.
Yeah, I watched that one.
Yeah.
That one was incredible. I love scary movies, though. That was part of the reason why I watched it. The meta on that one is nuts, because it's like there's so many different little elements. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it speaks to a lot, some of what we're talking about here with like the healthcare and things like that, because it's like his whole thing was basically talking about like the poorest of the poor usually have to bear the brunt of everybody's problems, you know, and they're the ones who actually bring things through.
Mm-hmm.
And also with coronavirus, I mean, it's very similar. I mean, that was very eye-opening for myself. I've talked about it a few times on here already, where it's like, you know, I'm probably somewhere in the middle, but it's like, even then I've just been thinking about constantly just like people who are, you know, lower than me, and like they have real problems to deal with all the time, like, and just their problems are amplified.
They don't have
by
the fact privilege that, like, either of staying home. They have to work.
Exactly. They're essential. Yeah. Yeah. And then it's just like you have it always irks me when like from day one, when I saw the celebrities like saying, we are
Ellen
the
said
people.
She felt trapped in her mansion.
Dude. Yeah. Oh, stuff like that, dude. Like,
yeah.
And I know that they're probably, you know, I try and assume the best. They're probably just like trying to relate on some level, you know, and make people feel better. But it's like, this isn't the same. Like, we're not in the same boat. Like, I don't know. When they say like we're all in this together, I'm like, not really though. Like, like I'm in like this apartment or small house or whatever. It's like, and then you're like in a mansion, and like you have your essential worker maid, which should probably show up and like help you do whatever you need to do, go do the grocery shopping for you or whatever it is. Like it's not really the same.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I don't know. The gap is just so wide, man. I don't know. It's weird. But I feel like that's one of the biggest things that's been coming out of this virus thing, man, is people just realizing there's just like this huge gap in society. And it's like, I don't know. There's always been a gap, but I feel like lately it's just been like, I don't know. Or maybe it's part of my awakening, like you said there, Adam.
Well, I think a lot of people are finally kind of waking up to, you know, the different Americas, you know, that people live in. So maybe if there's one good thing to come away from this, it's hopefully that a lot of people who are insensitive to the plight of certain groups are going to be more aware of that and appreciative of what they give to society.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, just like off the backs of other people. I don't know. Like there's so much that goes into just keeping our world the way that it is. And it's like so many things that I don't know. I feel like it's just things that we've taken for granted. Personally, I can speak for myself. I hate speaking for other people. I don't know what your background is, but I don't know. There's so many little things that you just take for granted, like that there's just going to be food at the grocery store. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like, oh, like that I'll be able to pay for it or whatever, but the food will actually show up. Like, I remember early on in this thing, we were worried about like, I don't know how often you guys were going out, but like I was the one getting groceries for the family. And like, dude, I was walking out and I would just like, I would go to, you know, Costco or just to try and stock up, or I would try and go to Ralph's and like, there just weren't certain things on the shelves. It was like, there were no apples, you know, like it whatever the item was, but it's just like, it's so odd in this like time that we live in, where it's like there's always everything at your fingertips. Amazon Prime, Amazon, you know, whatever, you can have anything you want whenever you want it. It's like to experience that, like, oh, like they just don't have apples because apples haven't come down the pipeline because there aren't people working at whatever, wherever they're working at to make it show up here, you know. Like, it's just odd, like all the little things that go into that. I don't know. Yeah. Well, we're reaching almost an hour here. I don't know if you guys have anything else you guys wanted to plug specifically, other than Pick Plays.
No, tune in on the 18th, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We've got Elizabeth Greer and Asha Davis confirmed to star in the play. Elizabeth Greer's been on Morning Show, a bunch of other credits. She's Yale School of Drama, and Asha Davis starred in Pariah and Friday Night Lights. So, yeah, we've got some sexy thespians in the mix. And, we dive in. We start rehearsal. We started rehearsal yesterday, but we start working with the actors on Friday. So
nice. Very nice. All right. Well, everybody tune in. I'll plug everything below as per usual, and I'll put your guys' socials and stuff up. But yeah, I don't know. I had a pleasant conversation. I appreciate you guys explaining things to me, and I hope that one day you get to live out your dream of being a virus.
Oh, thank you.
And
I'll let you know how that goes.
Free six pack there, Doug. You know, I hope you just re-sleeve into whatever. I'm one and done. You won't see me when that happens. But, you know, hopefully I'll be looking down and, you know, I'll be like, wow, that's a great six pack, man. Maybe I should have stuck around.
That is multiplying like crazy. This is
wow, there's like 80 of Adam, man. Maybe I don't know what's going on. What's... All right, gents. Well, I'll stop the recording here.
Thanks for having us.
But yeah, thank you for coming on. This was a load of fun.
Once more, repeat it. Do it again.